have spent some time in the book of Ephesians, from the beginning of this year, Paul addressed out of love, if you recall. He says, "My beloved, out of love, Church of Ephesus, I want you to hear the truths I want to share with you. I'm sharing my heart with you," is what Paul said. And Paul shared his heart. He says, "I want you to walk worthy of your vocation. I want you to walk in the way that shows you belong to Christ and honors Christ. I want you to walk worthy to the one who has called you and has saved you." And then he goes on and he lists how to do this. He gives some great precepts and principles throughout this letter to the church of Ephesus, how you are to walk and how you're to live and how you're to do those things. He talks about your walking in the Spirit, and he talks about having unity, and he talks about having peace. He talks about all those things we've talked about throughout this year. Then he comes to this place. It says, as much as you're going to strive to do this, you got to understand you're in a spiritual battle. You understand you're going to strive to walk worthy of your vocation. You're going to strive to live the way I want you to live. But you're going to have someone coming against you. You're going to have obstacles in your way. You're going to have things that come against you and try to get you off track and get you not to do things you should be doing and not doing what you know you should do in your lives. You're going to struggle with this. You're going to have this battle. But do all you can to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he says, you do this by putting on the whole armor of God. He says, I want you to stand. I want you to do all you can do to stand. But I want you to understand you can't do it alone. We have to understand we need to walk worthy of our vocation this morning. But you and I, as believers, cannot do it alone. And God has given us every tool that we need. The problem is we walk by the tools. We know we need to put the tools on. We need to use the tools. But we say, we'll get to that someday. We'll get to that at some time in our lives. He goes through and he tells us that we're to gird ourselves with our loins. They had the loose fitting clothing. They had to take it. They had to pull it up. They had to cinch it with the belt. And that belt was stability. That belt was help. And it based upon all the other armors of God. It talked about putting and having the breastplate of righteousness. It talked about the shield. It talked about the helmet of salvation. It talked about all the tools we talked about. And all those were able to be able to protect you and to help you. Then last week we looked at the one tool that is given as a tool to be able to strike back with. It is a tool of offense. And this tool is the word of truth. And as I said, even when we're reading Genesis, this word of truth is the word utterance. And it's talking about a specific portion of Scripture. And we looked at last week. We looked where Jesus gave Scripture against the devil himself. And each attack that Jesus used specific Scripture, not the same Scripture, specific Scripture to fight back the attack that the devil was coming after Jesus. And we need to use specific Scripture. We need to know the Word of God. So when the attack comes, we know what to use and what Scripture to give. I went through at least 10, 12 things last week. If you were here, we gave 10 things where the devil attacks. And I gave you Scripture, a specific Scripture that went with those areas that attacked. We need to know the Word of God. Again, we don't need to know every word and be able to quote it perfectly, but we need to know what the Scripture is saying. You might not even remember the reference. You might not remember that, but you know where the truth is. You know what the Scripture says, and you're able to take that and use that in the battle that you're facing. This morning, we move to another portion of this that sometimes is not part of the armor of God. For many, if you look at a lot of commentaries and a lot of things, sometimes they move this into a different section. I believe this goes hand in hand. I entitled this the secret weapon. The secret weapon. that we have. Because we have all the tools. We have everything we need. Now he tells you there's something you need to do. Because you have the tools, you have this there, but now you got to switch and understand. You got to do all you can do to stand. You got to put on the armor of God. You put on the armor of God, but you're still going to be powerless if you go in your own power. We can have all the tools, and we can have everything we need, but if we don't have the strength to do it, we can't do it. Now, I want to illustrate this for a moment. Reagan, can you please come up here? I want you to stand right here. Now, how many think Reagan's strong? Can you make your muscles? I didn't ask how many thought she was ornery. I asked how many thought she was strong. Because who thinks she's ornery? No, just don't. Oh, man, you're in trouble. Now, she's pretty strong, right? You're not strong?
No.
Well, then have a seat. I got to use. Eli, come up here. I need someone strong. Now, how many know that he's strong? Anyone been around long enough to know this one is strong? Okay? So, what I want you to do, I'm going to give you all the tools to be able to do something. Okay, the best way to lift is to lift with your what? Knees, not your back. So I want you to bend your knees. Okay? And I want you to put your hand down like this. And then the best thing to do, no, turn your hand here. The best thing you do is when you lift, you take a nice breath in and out, and then you just lift up with your knees. All right? Can you just practice that? Go down. Go up. Breathe in and out. One, two. No, just kidding. All right. I gave him all the tools. I want you to come over here. And I want you to lift the piano completely off the ground by yourself. All right. Bend your knees. Lift underneath. Go. Go. No, I gave you the tools. Use your knees, not your back. Bend down. Breathe. He can't do it. Now, I want to illustrate something. Do it again. On the count of three. One, two, three. Now, look. This is what happened. I want you to you can have a seat. He had the tools, but he couldn't do it himself. We have all the tools. We know what the tools are. We have all the tools, but we leave out the key ingredient, the strength that we get from God to be able to use those tools. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, please help us to just see the truths you want us to glean. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Someone said this, praying in the Holy Spirit is not turning a grocery list over to God. It means that you and I recognize our enemy and that we lay a hold of God upon for spiritual resources. It's not that we give a grocery list. It's we rely and turn to God for the spiritual resources that he gives us. Now, as we look at this morning, I want us to focus on prayer this morning. Now, prayer is something. And we're going to look at the scripture and what it says there, and we're going to look at other scriptures and the type of prayers we need to have. But prayer is something that we know we need to do, but many of us struggle with doing. One of the most difficult things a Christian is asked to do is to pray consistently. Because I believe the devil knows how effective prayer is. I believe the devil knows that's where we tap into the power of God, communicating with God. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is identifying ourselves and realizing we need God's help, God's strength. It's us saying, I have the tools. God's given me the tools. But God, I need your help to implement and do those tools. I can't do it myself. Prayer is going to God and praying and asking God. And the devil knows if you can tap into God's power, he's in trouble. If you and I can tap into God's power, the devil knows he's in trouble. I believe he attacks in many areas. I believe he tries to get us off track in many places. But I tell you, the secret weapon we have this morning is prayer. And the devil knows if he can get you to stop communicating with God and stop relying upon God and being dependent upon God, you're going to fail. I'm going to fail. But he knows if you communicate with God, God is greater and stronger than him, and he knows he's defeated. Now look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Pray always. I tell you, that sounds easy, isn't it? Pray always. We've heard since we were younger, you should always be in a spirit of prayer. You should always have prayer on your mind. You don't have to physically speak words to pray. You can think and you can do that, and that's all true. But here's where it comes down to this thought. We need to pray always. When do we normally pray? When we're in trouble. Now, this is just a fun illustration to get us this thought. And some of you are going to laugh about this. Because some of you have had children this way. They are very self-dependent on themselves. They can do everything themselves. They don't need help. They don't need you to show them how to do anything. They can do it. How many ever tried to teach your child to ride a bike before? And some children are easier than others to ride a bike. Some are a little more stubborn. And they're going to do it themselves. And what happens sometimes when they try to do it themselves? They run into mailboxes. All right, there you go. They run into car doors. They fall over and they scrape themselves up head to toe. They're doing it all themselves because they're going to do it themselves to get it done. Now wait, they have the tool. What do they have? They have their bike. They've been shown how to use the bike. They've been shown how to balance. They've been shown how to pedal. They've shown how to use the brakes. They've been shown everything they need to do. But they try to do it themselves and they fail. What helps them learn? As a mom or dad that's able to come behind them, hold the back of the bike for just a little bit while they're pedaling, and then they learn how to ride the bike. We need to pray always because we need the help in our lives. This is what happens in the spiritual warfare. I want you to get this. We take the weapons, we start using their weapons, but we're using it in our power, in our might, and we're not praying always. We're not communicating God always, asking God. He's telling the church of Ephesus, you need to have prayer. You need to communicate with God. You need to pray always. We're going to talk about the type of prayers he's mentioned. He's going to talk about those things and what that prayer is. But he says, you need to be in prayer. You need to have God's Spirit upon you. You need to have God's power. You need to have God. Do you know why we fail in the battles that we're facing? Because I believe most people in this room knows what tools are. You know what the sword of the Spirit is, especially if you've been here. We've went through all this. You know what all the armor of God is. You know what we need to do to put it on. You know that's there. But we still get defeated because we're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to go out and accomplish and get victory, and we put on the armor of God. We do this. I know all this stuff, and I'm invisible. I can go do this. We go out, and we get defeated. Praying always. Continue prayer. You know what praying always does and why we struggle with it? We come to a place that we realize we can't do it, and we need help. Just as the bike need help. We've all come to that place in our lives in different areas where we realize we need help. Back when I was younger, believe it or not, I had hair. And when Tanya and I first got engaged, I decided I was going to save money. And this is what happened to all my hair. I had Tanya, we went to Walmart, bought a hair cutting set. Tanya's never cut hair a day in her life, and I told her to cut my hair. She cut my hair. I've never seen steps in my hair the way they looked. I never saw the designs that someone could do with razors, and not even trying to do it. I got what I paid for. And I tell you, we needed help. Now, that time I lived with the Haynes, and they worked at Maranatha, and I knew she cut hair, so we called her, and I said, I need help. I need help. I can't go out looking like this. So I put a bag over my head, and we went over there, and she cleaned me up, and no one ever knew. Now, you all know, but no one ever really knew, except Tanya and her family, how my hair looked at one point. Now you say, well, it's easy to cut hair now. Yeah, there's nothing there, I know. But there's, what? Yes, she got better, and for years, while I still had hair, cut my hair. And she learned how to do it. But here's the truth. We have to admit we need help sometimes. And that's what prayer does. Prayer admits we need help. Praying always. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I need your help. And it gives this idea of praying always. Every time, not just when you're in trouble. Every time, every minute of your life, praying, asking God to be there with you, to help you, to guide you, to direct you. Praying always for every decision, everything we're going to do. Seek God. Seek God's help. Seek God's strength in our prayer. Always. Continued prayer is taught several places in Scripture. Turn to Psalms 55 this morning. Psalms 55. And verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You can go to 2 Timothy 1:3. You can go to several other scriptures. Continual prayer is taught throughout Scripture. Prayer is considered to be your life, your breath, spiritually speaking. If we do not pray, we aren't breathing. We ought to be praying continually. day in and day out. That's a simple truth. That's one that every one of us in this room knows. But let me ask you, how much did you pray yesterday? I mean, more than, Lord, thank you for this food as it goes down my throat, amen. But how much did we pray? Oh, I'm not talking about when you were in such a pickle in your life yesterday and something, oh, Lord, save me from this. But when's the last time we truly prayed? Continually praying is ought to be the secret weapon in our lives, but we don't use it. But look at this, praying always with all prayer. Prayer is not just asking for good things. Do you have a friend or acquaintances that only call you when they want something for you? I mean, the only time you hear from them is when they want something. Do you know many of us approach prayer the same way? We only pray to God when we want something. God, you can do this for me. God, give me this. God, I want this. God, I need this. God, give me this. But you know, what do we do to people that call us only time they want something? What's our attitude? What's our reflection? Now, what should prayer be? Prayer should be all prayers. Praying always for all prayers. What type of prayers? What are we supposed to be praying? When we pray, what do we pray? First, it should be praise. Write this down. It should be praise. Psalms chapter 47. Psalms 47. And verse 6 through verse 7. Sing praise to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Psalms 96. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. Psalms 96, verse 1 and 2. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new psalm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. When we pray, we ought to be praising God, singing and praising and thanking him, praising God, lifting up his name. You know, the first thing we ought to do is praise God when we pray. Lord, thank you. Lord, I am not worthy of who you are and all that you are. I am not worthy for my salvation. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for all you've done. It ought not to be, Lord, I need this. Lord, give me that brand new Corvette convertible, that Stingray. Lord, I want that. You can buy that for me if you want, Brian. Lord, Lord, praise. Thank you, Lord. I lift your name up, Lord. I'm praising you. Also, prayer ought to be, and it goes hand in hand with that, with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 gives this idea that when we pray, we're to pray with thanksgiving. That means we're to be grateful and praying in a grateful spirit. It is not me spirit. It's, Lord, it's all about you. Do you know when we pray, it aligns our heart with God? And when I have the right spirit, a spirit of thanksgiving, it puts me in that right spot. I'm not going before God grumbling and complaining about my life. I'm going before the Lord and thanking the Lord for the life he's given me. I'm thanking the Lord and I'm lifting up his name and I'm praising him and I'm thanking him for all that he's done for me. I have a grateful spirit. I'm not complaining. Lord, why'd you give me that rotten spouse that you gave me, Lord? Get a hold of him and strike him down with lightning from heaven. I'm praying, Lord, thank you that you've given me someone. Lord, I know there's issues. I know there's problems, but Lord, I want to be thankful for what you've given those rotten kids that you gave me. I tell you, they're never grateful themselves, snotty-nosed little kids. I can't believe that you, no, Lord, the children are a gift from God. Lord, thank you for giving me this gift. Lord, I need your strength and power to raise them in the right way. I need your help, but Lord, I'm thankful. It's having that thankful spirit. It's being thankful. It is aligning us with God and having that thankful spirit. It's also a request for guidance. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. When we pray, we need to request for guidance. You know, when we pray before God, and we're praying always for all prayers, we are to pray and ask God and praise God. We ought to be thankful for God, but we also need to ask God for his leading and his guidance in our lives. You and I need to understand, as we're praying, our secret weapon is, Lord, I want to trust you. I'm not leaning my own ways, but Lord, I'm acknowledging you. And if I know I acknowledge you, you're going to direct my paths. And Lord, I'm asking for your leading. I'm asking for your guidance in my life as I'm in my battle, in my spiritual warfare, as the devil's attacking and the fire darts are coming. I have the word of God. I have the truth upon me. I have all the armor on me. But Lord, I'm praying that you give me what I need and show me the truth and guide me in the right direction in my life. Lord, I need your guidance. But also, prayer ought to be a time of confession. Turn to Psalms 32 and verse 5. Psalms 32 and verse number 5. I acknowledge my sins unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest iniquity and my sin. Lord, I'm sorry. You know what prayer is? Prayer is confession. Lord, I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. Lord, please forgive me. And when we do that, God forgives us, and we have the power of God upon our lives to be able to have the victory in the spiritual battle we're facing. Prayer is confession. You notice, as we're getting through this, it's praise, it's thanksgiving, it's request for guidance, it's confession. But it's also request for spiritual needs. Now I'm going to say something in a minute, but go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 14 through verse 15. First John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. You know what prayer is? Prayer is praise. It's thanksgiving. It's guidance. It's confession. But it's also requesting. But I believe we get it all wrong. Because again, it's not the grocery list we turn to God. Requesting for what? Spiritual needs. Spiritual help. Spiritual strength. Oh, there is a time that we need to ask God and God for certain things and help certain areas in our lives. I understand that. But do you know the request is for spiritual needs? Lord, your will in this matter. How many times have we prayed for something and we say, Lord, this is what I want. Lord, give this to me. And what should we pray? Lord, If it be thy will, then I want this. But Lord, if it's not your will, I don't want this. Now, I'm going to use an illustration here. Please understand what I'm going to say. Many times we pray for healing for somebody, and our hearts is that they be healed. But you know what we need to pray? Lord, heal them according to your perfect will. If it be your will, Lord, heal them. It may not be the Lord's will. As hard as that is, he may be ready to take them home to glory. And that's why we need to pray for his will. I knew of a story of a lady that had a son that was really sick. They didn't think the son was going to make it. She prayed. Her family prayed. They all prayed. The church prayed. They prayed that God would just heal the son. God would not take the son. God would just heal the son. But they did not pray for God's will. They prayed that God would just heal their son. The son was healed. But the son had no desire for the things of God. No desire for anything. End up taking the life of his mother and of his father. Now, I'm not saying that's just because, but I'm saying this. We need to pray for what? God's will, not our will. We need to pray for God's will, not our will. Not what we want. It's spiritual needs. Do you know prayer is saying, God, I need you to help me walk for you. Lord, I need you to help me put on the armor of God. I believe every one of us needs to put on the armor of God every day of our lives, and sometimes a couple times a day. All right? Because that is saying, God, I need you to help me put on the armor. I need your strength. I need your power. Lord, I can't lift the sword up. I need your help to lift the sword up so I can use the word of God. Lord, I need you. I need you. Lord, I need you in my life. It's praise. It's thanksgiving. It's guidance. It's confession. It's quest for spiritual needs. And it's for intercession. Now, we're going to say more about intercession as we get into this verse here. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. In the Spirit. The Holy Spirit should guide our prayers. It's in the Spirit. Do you know the key to success is that we're in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit, praying in the Spirit? Now let me ask you, if you're praying in the Spirit, are you going to have selfish prayers? Are you going to have mean prayers? No, you're going to have prayers that are focused upon God and your spiritual condition and your life, and you're going to be praying for God's power in your life. We also see this. All saints. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching there unto all perseverance and supplication of all for all saints. We pray for one another. We pray on the behalf of them. We make supplications. We make requests for others. You know what prayer does? It turns the focus from ourselves and our needs, and we focus on other people's needs. Do you know that's a key in spiritual battle? When we focus from our needs to others' needs. Because you know where one of the areas the devil sends his fiery darts? You know where he sends them? To attack you and me with our selfish desires. woe is me. Look how bad my life is. Oh, I must be living for God because all these attacks the devil's given me. Oh, look at me and look at how this has happened to me. And look, woe is me. And oh, this is happening. And this person did this to me. And this is happening. And then all we do is focus on all our problems. You ever met a person, you don't have to admit this, that you're afraid to ask how their day's going? Because all you're going to hear is a list of all the bad that they have. Let me tell you, when a person lists, now it's okay to let people know some of the things going on in your life, I'm not saying that. But when our focus is on all the bad, and we don't even take a minute to listen to someone else, what someone else is going through, and focus on them, it becomes focus on ourselves. And when the devil knows we're focused on ourselves, guess what's going to happen? The attacks are going to come, and we're going to lose the battle. See, prayer has this idea. Lord, I need to make prayer for others, all saints, but also for the unsaved. I need to pray for one another. My focus need to be on other, not my own personal issues, not my own personal battles. Oh, I need to seek spiritual help. Lord, I need your guidance. I need your direction. I need that. But Lord, I need to focus on others and realize that it's not all about me. And realize there's others I need to focus upon and pray for. And I need to lift them up in prayer. If the devil can get us to look at ourselves and focus on ourselves all the time, we will be defeated. It's focusing the Spirit. It's focusing on all saints. But it's being faithful. It's being faithful. I said all this. This is all introduction, by the way, this morning. Turn to me, Luke chapter 18. Just kidding. We won't spend long here, but I do want us to come to Luke 18. All this leads us to this point here. I want you to look at Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge in which fear not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Bible says, Be not become weary in well-doing. Pray always. Don't faint. What's the idea? What is this concluding principle I want us to see? Is we faint, we become weary, we lose the battle that we're facing because we're not praying and faithfully praying and perseverance in our prayers and continuing to pray and seek God. Now, we could spend the whole time on just what I read there. There's a great illustration there as he spoke this story, this parable, this time of teaching. God used illustrations to teach great principles. And the principle is this: be faithful in your prayer life. Because prayer praying to God, praising Him, thanking Him, guidance, spiritual, confession, supplication. That's the prayer we need to have in our lives. That taps us into God's power for the battle we're facing. Many believers are being defeated this morning. We know we're to walk worthy. We're trying to walk worthy. But you know what's happened? The fiery darts have come and hit us. And we go and we try to pick ourselves up. And we're trying to go in the battle again. And another dart comes, hits us. We fall. We come in and we go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need your help." But we really don't cast it at the feet of Jesus. We hold on to it. Lord, and we don't really give it to God, and we don't really pray, and we don't do those what we need to do, and we're trying to still go in our own strength. Well, I'm going to try to learn God's word more because that's what the preacher said I need to do. And that's great. When we start memorizing Scripture, we start reading Scripture more. But also, we're defeated again. Oh, I need to understand that I'm solid in Christ, that my salvation is not based upon works, that I'm saved by the precious blood of the Lamb, and I can be grounded in that. That's wonderful. That's great. And you have no doubt and discouragement. That's awesome. But all of a sudden, you're going to your life, and the fire darts come and hit you, knock you back down again. And you can't get victory. And you're trying to put on the pieces yourself. The problem is, we haven't asked for the secret weapon. We haven't asked God for His help, His strength. We've been trying to do it ourselves. We are trying to manufacture the armor of God ourselves. Now, how many of you try to create something yourselves? How many of you have seen something in the store and you decided you were going to try to go home and make it yourself or do it yourself because it was way too expensive for what they were charging for? And sometimes you can do it and sometimes you can't, right? Sometimes you can get pretty close, but it's usually not exactly the same thing. Well, most of you know that Brother Jamie has gotten into this thing where he swims and rides bikes and that. Now, the bike that Brother Jamie needs is not a bike that you and I would normally go and purchase and get that. It's beyond what we could even know how to use, all right? It's crazy. And it needs certain things in certain ways. It has to be designed and created. Well, Brother Jamie needed this bike, and he did not have the funds to buy this bike. So he went to Goodwill, and he found a bike that he thought he could make into what he needed to. He borrowed some tools and some welding equipment from individuals. He went to the dollar store and purchased some things. He went to other places, and he got all these pieces together. And then he watched a YouTube video how to custom this bike into what he needed. He cut, he re-welded, he put together, he did all this together. It looked great. I tell you, he sanded down the welds. He made it look beautiful. He painted it. He had it perfect. It looked beautiful. And from the eyes, no one will know the difference. Brother Jamie decided to go on his 10,000-year bike ride. I don't know how many miles you're up to now. And he decided to go, and he left his house off Middleton, and then went all the way back this way, around the lake, around here, around there, 3, 7, 20. 20 hours later, whatever it was, he went on this. He got just a little distance, and he started hearing noises. And he says, ah, it's okay. I did this myself. I know what good quality this is. It's going to be great. He went a little further, and he heard something break off and hit the concrete. Oh, we're still good. It's still riding smooth. It's still going the right way. We're still going the right direction. And he went a little further. And over the course of the time, piece by piece, the bike started to fall apart. And by the time he got to the end, Brother Jamie had a seat and one wheel, like a unicycle. And he was riding the rest of the way till the pedals fell off. Now, here's the illustration. That's what happens when we try to manufacture God's power in our life and the spiritual armor. We think we are good, but we're not. Because when the fiery darts hit, our fake armor starts to fall off. And we're wide open for the attack the devil's sending our way. We need to be in prayer. God, I want your armor. I'm not producing this. I'm not doing this. Lord, I need you. Let's tap in to God. God's strength, so we can walk worthy of our vocation. And when the battle happens, we can say, devil, you can't get me, not because I'm great, but because he's great. And he's going to defeat you. I'm not going to defeat you, but God is going to defeat you. And I'm coming against you, not in my power, but in his power, in his might. And I will have victory because God will give the victory in my life. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray you would help us just see the principles that we've covered. Help us to glean these truths. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed.